Stephenson is not here tonight. He's still in the hospital. He is recovering well from a lot of testing and stuff. They determined that he has an infection in his colon, and they've surgically taken care of that. And hopefully after a couple more tests on Monday, he'll be on his way home, and that this will alleviate some of the ER trips that we've made. So he wanted me to send his greetings to all of you. I want to give a few announcements. We have two people sitting here tonight on their birthday. Wow, that's pretty great. Don Wanick and Larry Vomhoff both have birthdays tonight. And as if that wasn't enough, Don's wife, Jean, has her birthday on Monday. Pastor Geese has his wife's birthday on Monday, and your anniversary is Monday too? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, what a joyfully packed weekend this is. So we wish them all goodwill. There are a few calendar items on the insert, and I'm not sure what is going to happen this week. I hope that all the Bible studies and everything go on, but some of that we'll just have to, if you aren't sure, give our house a call and we'll know more information. I think that sums it up. We welcome you tonight. Thank you, Pastor Geese.
Thank you, Julie. I think the mic might be a bit hot now. I don't want you scaring me, and I don't want to scare you either. I will remind you that you should have one of these packages with a wafer and with some wine. And if you don't, I have one here, and there are more out in the entryway. And if someone does come in, be sure and note that and encourage them to grab that. I'll be reminding you about this after the Lord's Prayer. That's when you'll open it. And I'll walk you through the process. We gather as we live in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please rise. Our entrance hymn is Rock of Ages. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
We sing of that Word, Word of God.
And also with you.
We pray. Heavenly Father, your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us to walk in your holy way, to keep company with Jesus. Grant us saving faith, passionate sowing, and eternal dwelling places in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 17, beginning with verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it I will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 1 responsively. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither.
In all that he does,
the wicked are not so,
but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read the lesson, and then there's a little bit extended part that isn't up on the screen so that we can get a really good sermon. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise as we sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go?
St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then he, that is Jesus, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he, Jesus, said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parables shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. You'll note in the bulletin and on the screen earlier that there is a children's message, and that's not accurate. And in fact, we are going to pause and pray for those children and for our pastor. Please join me in prayer. Loving and holy, gracious Father, we pray for the young people of our community, those who may view the videos, those who are being nurtured by their parents in life in Christ. And we pray that they grow in their knowledge of Jesus, and we pray that their parents grow in the knowledge of Jesus, and we pray that we grow in the knowledge of Jesus. We pray for our Pastor Dave and ask your healing for him and give you thanks for the health he has and for the hope of better health and for all of our hope in Jesus Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We have some very obvious readings today about the kingdom of God. It's hard for our 21st century American ears to hear what's going on, but it is about the kingdom of God. How many of you have met a king of some sort? We really don't know what a king is. We know we don't like authority at times, and we also don't like lawlessness. We end up straddling a fence and having trouble. The easy parts to understand are what Jesus is telling his disciples, that the kingdom of God is not something I have to understand any more than the man in Jesus' story did. He knew enough to sow the seed, knew enough to put the sickle in and harvest when it was time. You don't have to understand the mechanics of botany and biology. Farming, while it takes a lot more than the story suggests, certainly that Palestinian farming of Jesus' day, that was not rocket science. They didn't even have to know about Roundup and fertilizers. And the kingdom of God starts impossibly small. And by the way, mentioning mustard seed is mildly offensive in a Jewish context. Jesus kind of introduces an ick factor as he tells his stories. That's why his stories are like cockle burrs. They stick with you. He talks about that mustard seed that starts impossibly small and gets grossly big. And there again is that ick factor that helps us remember his story. And in that way he spoke to them as they were able to hear. The kingdom. The kingdom is the domain of the king, where the king rules. And we heard in Ezekiel, as Julie read it, you heard how, I am going to do it, says God, Yahweh Almighty. I will transplant, and I will cause to grow, and I will make fruitful that cedar. Now, cedar doesn't bear fruit. That's a Hebrew statement. I'll cause it to yield what it ought. I'm doing this, God says. And the unspoken text is, you're not. And nobody else is doing. We just don't know how to deal with kings, and in fact, we ought to be mildly offended at times. There was a wonderful moment in some fiction I was reading where a princess spoke to somebody else about the queen. The absolute monarch of that kingdom. And she said, the princess said to the other person, if she was nice to you, you can be grateful and surprised because an absolute monarch can do anything in any way. But we like to do things our way, don't we? We like to have the food the way we want it. We like the clothing that we want. And we can be kind of picky about some things. We want things the way we want things. And in fact, in one of the lections for today, one of the lectionaries, and there are different ways of following the scripture readings,
One of the readings suggested Psalm 92, but only verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 15. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love or your covenant faithfulness in the morning, and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the lyre, to the melody of the harp. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. And then a jump. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Sounds pretty good until you go back and see what we skipped over. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. And it goes on to speak of the enemies of God, and evildoers will be scattered. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. Before an absolute monarch, disagreement with the monarch is punished, ultimately with death. And the words of Scripture come to us not as an option to pick and choose like we do in a cafeteria. The Word of God comes, and either we say amen or yes, or we say no, there isn't any middle ground. And the Word of God comes to us today, and it tells us that this King claims us. We hear, as Paul speaks to us, as we deal with life before the King, in 2 Corinthians 5, we're told that we live in tents. We're not living in long-term building. Tents have a limited lifespan. And usually the last 2 days of camping are the days when you look forward to getting back to a durable house. And the durable house that Paul writes about to us this evening, that is the durable house eternal in the heavens, a building from God. So yes, we struggle. I had a funeral Friday in a non-air-conditioned church, and a lot of the windows don't open, so we suffer, don't we? That was minimal suffering. It was a wonderful gathering. Life isn't perfect. And while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we want to be unclothed. The Greeks and the Romans talked about escaping this body. But we Christians talk about having a new body, about the resurrection of the body. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And Paul says we have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So, part two. So we are of good courage. We don't wimp out. We don't whine out. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, and in some ways we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And here or in eternity, we make it our aim to please Him, the absolute monarch. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Boy, that sounds like works righteousness, doesn't it? And we Lutherans are against that. It's not talking about how good we are on a scale of 1 to 10. If I am in Christ, His holiness lives in me. And if I am not in Christ, that judgment seat ought to be something I fear. Therefore, in the third section, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God. And Paul says, I'm not getting a sore shoulder by patting myself on the back. I want you to be able to brag about what we do following Christ. For if we are beside ourselves, I think back to the gospel from last Saturday, where Jesus' family comes to take him away and put him in an asylum. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And I hear Paul referencing baptism. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. That's the way we thought about Jesus once, Paul says, but no more. Anyone in Christ, that's a new creation. But you got shortchanged, because there's a fourth section with which the chapter ends, which moves on with the consequences of the therefore. All this is from God, the absolute monarch, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. As members of that kingdom, we have a job. And it's not just Pastor Dave's job or my job, and it's not just a Saturday evening or Sunday morning job. It is a way of life job that continues Monday through Saturday and on into Sunday. It is the job we go out to do. After we leave this hallowed gathering, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, the final of the many therefores and so. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are agents of that absolute monarch. And we cannot live our lives as we want them to live. We live our lives as God in Christ Jesus calls us to live. Ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us jars of clay. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. This is a call to action. And as we may read at times in Scripture about trumpets, when I read about a trumpet in Scripture, I think about my brother-in-law, who's a wonderful professional trumpeter. But that's wrong. It's a bugle, and it's a command. And it calls us to do what the king says to do. This evening, the king reminds us of who he is, and what he's done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and who therefore we are. No longer my own, but a new creation made into ambassadors for this Christ. God bless you as you live lives of holiness in a way that may sometimes even bother you, but which does not bother our Lord. God bless you as you live holiness now and in eternity. And all God's people say, Amen. Our song is, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm going to ask you to remain seated.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Build yourselves up in your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
As you've heard from Scripture, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
While we're a little bit more open, I encourage you after our worship service to continue sharing the peace as you greet one another in Jesus' name. Our communion hymn is When Peace Like a River. And I invite you to, we're not passing baskets, but I invite you to give your offering as the Spirit guides you. Peace like a river.
I'm going to use this period to include the prayers of intercession and then move right into the Eucharistic prayer, closing them with the Lord's Prayer. We pray for the church, for the cosmos, and people in their individual needs. Gracious and powerful King of all, ruler of this universe which you created, you make and you destroy, you build up, you tear down, and you are God. Help us to remember that and to pray that your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ruler of all, you raised Israel and Judah. You made them your people. And we give you thanks for the way you've grafted us into their life of faith, into their promise and your love. We give you thanks that we need to reach out now and invite others into your promise. We thank you for the way your kingdom grows, not just on a frontier, but how it grows in our daily witness. We pray that your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the way that Jesus Christ claims us and calls us to follow in his footsteps and makes us your ambassadors. As people look at us, we pray that they see Christ and they see your holiness and that your name is praised in daily life. We pray that your kingdom grow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It seems impossibly small. It seems impossible, period. And you do the impossible as you grow your ancient people, Israel, as you grow the early church, as you grow us at Emmanuel, we ask. Grow us in our faith and grow your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who struggle with growth, and we pray that you grow Pastor Dave in his health. We pray for others in their various needs. We remember those who grieve, and we pray for those who struggle with health. Marcia's friend Mary, who's having surgery Monday at the base of her neck, and Marcia's friend Joanne, who's having quite extensive surgery Tuesday. And silently or out loud, we name others before you who are in need of your care. For churches that struggle, for cities that struggle, for states and for nations that struggle. No matter what the context be, we pray that your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you drink of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await the day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life.
Send your Spirit upon us and this meal, as grains scattered on the hillside become one bread. So let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. And all God's people say, Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please take your elements and open the wafer side. The body of Christ given for you. And please go ahead and eat. Please take again that communion kit, and if you'd open carefully the wine side, the blood of Christ shed for you. Now the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you that shalom, that peace. And all God's people say, Amen. Please rise. Our song is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Feeble life is o'er.
Thanks be to God.